sermons based upon the theme of last Sunday's play, The Quest of the Lost Treasure of the Heart, which is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's the largest collection of Jesus' teachings any one place in the Gospels, but it's only 3 chapters long. But in the Sermon on the Mount is the most important verse. It was the key to our play last week, where Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He talks to us in the Sermon on the Mount about priorities, about what is truly the treasure of your heart. Martin Luther, in the same way, talked about this. This is his definition of what a God is. Luther says, "Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God." Just like Jesus, your heart and your treasure, they come together. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' teaching to us about getting our priorities straight. Because we can be very, very good at messing up priorities and living our lives all wrong. If you were here last weekend and you saw the play, you know that Dr. Smith and his sidekick Monterey Jack visited the very strange town of Winnedah-Wheedah-Waybeth. In Winnedah-Wheedah-Waybeth, the people did a lot of dumb, foolish things which only caused them problems. But that's what they did. And when our hero asked, "Why do you do this and what does your town's name stand for?" this is the answer they gave him. Sorry. "We've never done it that way before." They acted in ways that were harmful to them, but they acted that way because that is the only way they knew to act. "We've never done it that way before." It's also known as the 7 last words of a dying church. Any church that has this as their motto is not in good shape. And unfortunately, for too many people in their individual lives, this is their self-destructive mantra and guide to life. Because when you live your life thinking, "We've never done it that way before, I've never done it that way before," you live with a tunnel vision. You only see part of what is going on. You're like a horse with blinders on. You only see a little bit of what is out there. And that's not a healthy way for humans to live. Albert Einstein had this wonderful definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. How many people live their lives like that? They do the same self-destructive thing again and again, thinking sometime, somehow, some way, it's going to be different this time. Martin Luther got in on it too when he talks about parents. Parents who are not wise parents. And he talks about how one fool trains another, and as they live, so live their children after them. In the midst of lives where too many of us say, "We've never done it that way before," Jesus comes to give us a new way of thinking and a new way of acting. And Jesus does this because he is also the one who says in John's Gospel that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He challenges us. He invites us to accept his new way of thinking and acting. Jesus' disciples called him Rabbi. And Rabbi is simply the Hebrew word for "my teacher." When he teaches the Sermon on the Mount, it is for his disciples. That's what the Gospels say. We shouldn't think of him on a hillside with a crowd of thousands of people. He gathers with his disciples and they sit at his feet, which is what you do before a teacher. And they were called his disciples. And as all the confirmation kids at church know, because we beat it into their heads in a loving Christian fashion, the word disciple simply means student. Jesus is our teacher, and we are his students. And what does our teacher say to us? "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." Jesus took the law, which was at the heart of all Jewish faith, and he says, "I'm going to give you a better way to understand God's law. I am going to give you a way that sees me as the fulfillment of that law." He says to those who listen to him, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, Jewish law was interpreted by these religious men, these scribes and Pharisees, and they had their way of interpreting it. But as we'll see a little bit later, it was not the most helpful way of doing it. Jesus says, I have a new way for you to interpret and live out God's law, but it is based upon the righteousness of God. It is based upon having a healthy, solid, peace-filled relationship with God. And having said that, at verse 20 of chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spends the rest of chapter 5 in a whole series of little arguments. And each one starts this way. He says, you have heard that it was said. He tells them six different times, here's what you have been taught. But then he says, but I say to you. And he gives them a new way of thinking and acting. And he didn't just say it for those disciples 2,000 years ago. He says this for you and me today. Jesus talks about how do you handle anger? How do you handle anger? He quotes the commandment, you shall not kill. But he says, you know what? It doesn't just involve not killing someone. You can't leave them in a bloody pulp and say, well, they're still breathing. I guess I'm okay on that one. That's not how it works. Jesus says, even if you are angry at your brother, you have broken this commandment. Even if you have evil thoughts towards your brother, you have broken this commandment. He talks about adultery. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. We all know that. But Jesus says, it goes even further than that. You've got to watch your thoughts. Because evil, sinful actions always begin with evil, sinful thoughts. Make sure you even battle against those thoughts. My new way of thinking and acting. He says, you've heard it said, you shall not divorce your wife. But if you do, and in Jesus' day, just so you know, in ancient Judah, only men could divorce their wives. Women could not divorce their husbands. And some of the rabbis said, you can divorce your wife this way. Write down on a sheet of paper, three times I divorce you, and give it to her. And you're done. Jesus said, you've heard that it's been taught that if you divorce your wife, you give her the certificate of divorce. But he says, but I say to you, you can't make divorce easy and simple like that. It's not an easy out for men because your wife has committed some offense, including maybe getting older, that you don't like. It's not that way, says Jesus. He talks about swearing oaths. We still do that today. In Jesus' day, today we swear on a stack of Bibles. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus says, in his day you swore by the hairs on your head. You would swear by the holy temple in Jerusalem. Jesus says, you know what? No. Don't swear oaths like that. You should be so honest that if you say yes, people know you mean yes. And if you say no, people should know you mean no. That's how honest you need to be, says Jesus. He talks about retaliation. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's actually in the Old Testament. But Jesus says, but you know what? Here's what I say to you. You have to love your enemies. And if someone hits you on one cheek, you have to turn to them the other cheek as well. If somebody, a Roman soldier or someone, makes you carry something for them a mile, you carry it 2 miles. That's what I say to you. And finally, Jesus says, you've heard it said that you love your friends and you hate your enemies. But that's not what I say. I say to you, you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you. And I'm sure when people were done listening to Jesus, they were, what? You're saying what? Because just as Jesus overturned the money changers' table at the end of his ministry, right now in this Sermon on the Mount, he has overturned the theological apple carts of everyone listening to them, to him. He has said, there is a new way to think and a new way to act. And we have all kinds of objections to that. Because we want to say, but we've never done it that way before. We want to say to Jesus, Jesus, this is really nice. It's nice theory, but it'll never work in the real world. I remember at my former church teaching these words of Jesus to my kids. And actually having a mother call me up and say, I cannot teach my child, turn the other cheek. I will not teach that to my child. I will teach my child to defend yourself no matter what. Because what Jesus says is difficult and hard. But Jesus says this, it's my way or it's your way. One is right and one is wrong. Guess which one you need to choose. Jesus says to you and me, but I say to you. He offers us something new. He offers us something challenging. He offers us something that is really scary. But it is real, and it is life-changing. Because as Christians, we need to remember this about Jesus. He's not just a nice guy. He's not just a good teacher. When Jesus speaks, He speaks with the authority of God. We say He is God's Son. And when Jesus speaks with the authority of God, we need to listen. He says this to you and me about the way we like to do things. He says, when it comes to life and relationships, the key is not getting our way. Now, a lot of people like to go through life manipulating everything so that it works out to my advantage. Jesus says you need to think on a different level. It's not about you getting what you want. He also says it's not a matter of you being clever. Of you being clever and being good with words. Remember this quote? Okay. It's a matter of what the word is. Now, we admire people who are clever, who can twist things around to their advantage. And Jesus says, I am not. You need to be open and honest and plain with your words. Jesus says that when it comes to our relationships, it is not about strict legalism. It is not about strict legalism. Those Pharisees in Jesus' day, they were very good at strict legalism because it can be really easy. God says, give a tenth of everything you have. Jesus excoriates the Pharisees because He says, you know what you do? When you buy salt, you sit down and you count out the grains of salt, and every tenth you give to the Lord so you can say, look at me, I'm so religious. And at the same time, says Jesus, you don't care about the poor and the oppressed. It's the same as us today saying, I go to church every Sunday or whenever I can. That should be enough, God. I give you an hour on Sunday. You stay out of the rest of my week. That's not how Jesus acts. That's not how Jesus thinks. It depends upon what Jesus says. And for us as Christians, that's not negotiable. What Jesus says is right, and what Jesus says is good for you and me. So what is Jesus' goal in these strange teachings in the Sermon on the Mount? It's found in the very last verse of chapter 5. After all these six sections of you've heard it said, but I say to you, this is what Jesus wants for you and me. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And before you panic, lest you not be perfect, this is what the word actually means in Greek. It means to be grown up. To be mature. Jesus wants us to act in a grown-up and mature fashion, just like He acts, just like God calls us to act. He wants us to live with the righteousness of God. He wants us to be able to do something as crazy as turning the other cheek. Now, let me tell you a story about that. It was in early 1969. I was in seventh grade, and it was a Wednesday afternoon, and I was on my way to church for confirmation. Back in 1969, students walked a mile to church for confirmation, both ways, uphill in the snow. But I grew up in Minneapolis, and I was walking to confirmation that day, a seventh grader, my Bible in my hand, my confirmation book in my hand, and I was walking along a busy street on my way to my church a mile away. And as I was walking along the street, this kid crossed the street and started walking next to me. And he was bigger than me. And he glared at me. And all of a sudden, he stopped and he hit me. And he said to me, what did I do to you? And I said, well, you slapped me. He said, no, I didn't. I hit you. And he hit me again. And we walked down the block with him glaring at me and me looking at him. Now, I would like to say that at this moment, as a seventh grader, I would say, well, our Lord Jesus says, if someone hits you on the right cheek, it was the left cheek, just so you know. If someone hits you on the right cheek, turn the other to them as well. I'd like to think that I was thinking great and holy thoughts like that, but I was thinking, why are you doing this? You don't know me. We have never met. What is it that makes you think you can walk up to me and hit me? And we walked very silently down the street until we came to the corner. And it was a busy corner with a stoplight. This was 46 years ago, but I will always remember what happened next. When we got to the corner and cars pulled up, this kid got a panicked look on his face, and turned and ran. And in that moment, 46 years ago, I learned a lesson about Jesus. And I said, you know what? He's really right. He's really right. It takes no courage to be mean and hit. It does take courage, and I'd like to say I was brave and courageous, but I probably didn't want to get the you-know-what beat out of me. But I learned the lesson, it takes more courage to not hit back than it takes to hit. And in that moment, so many years ago, I learned a lesson about Jesus and about the importance of following His words. Because you know what? As crazy and weird as the world seems, He's the one who ran. I did not. And I've learned through the years that those who have taken Jesus literally in those words, Martin Luther, Dr. Martin Luther King, all those others who have stood up, and I'm not putting myself on the same level as them, folks, don't think that for a second, but I learned that there are people who are brave enough and trust Jesus enough to say, you know what, I will do that. Because you see, when we obey Jesus' words, we have something really important. We have the key to freedom. We dare to do what Jesus says. We dare to know what true obedience brings to us. We dare to be those who follow Jesus. Because we live in a world where a whole lot of people do not follow Jesus and could not care less about what He says. But you and I are called to do that. And when we do that, it makes a huge difference in this world. And we should never, ever forget that. It's a wonderful story in the book of Acts, 17th chapter. Where Paul and some of his followers come to the Greek city of Thessalonica. And they preach this crazy message of Jesus. And what do the people of the town say about them? The men who have turned the world upside down have come here. I like that. The men who have turned the world upside down. Here's the choice we have, folks. We can go through life saying, we've never done it that way before. We can go through life saying, it's not going to work, so I'm not going to try. Or we can go through life saying, I'm going to dare to follow Jesus. And when we dare to follow Jesus in our own way, maybe a small way, maybe a big way, in our own way, led by His Spirit, filled with His love, we can turn the world upside down. Jesus says the end result is results. Results for the kingdom. Jesus says the end result is righteousness. It is having your heart cling to God. It is having God be the treasure of your heart. And He calls you and me to dare, in love and in faith, to dare to live the way He commands us to live, knowing it's the right way. Amen.